Hello, this is Clay Boykin, and I am in search of the new Compassionate Male. Yesterday, my producer, Dennis Tardon, and I had the opportunity to visit with Jeffrey Manasse. Jeffrey is from Malawi and works with United Religions Initiative and Charter for Compassion. Jeffrey is a fascinating person. Here's that conversation.
Hello, world. It's me, Dennis, and I am the producer of In Search of a New Compassionate Male. I'm here with our founder, Clay Boykin. Good morning, Clay. Would you say hello to us, please?
Sure. Hi, Dennis. We are really fortunate to have Jeffrey Manasse from Malawi with us today. Jeffrey, you and I met, through the Charter for Compassion, and we'll get into that conversation some. But I'd like to welcome you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Clay.
So glad to have you here. So please tell us in what we're doing in Search of the New Compassionate Male. So we're talking with you in Africa today. Can you talk a little about the gender divide and the healings that are happening, just from a high level of what you're doing and what's yours to do that is happening right now? Give us a small story that can help lead us into this conversation.
Thank you, Dennis and Clay, for hosting me. As you said, my name is Jeffrey Manasse, coming from Malawi. Malawi is southern part of Africa. I want you plus other people who can hear us to know Malawi more than the way they know. Malawi, we do have like two pillars. Mm-hmm. Which many people know about us. The first pillar is the warm heart of Africa. Malawi is a warm heart of Africa, whereby we do have different colors, we do live in peaceful, and we are very good people in accommodating others. And the second thing is very shame, but I have to share. Malawi is almost the poorest country in the world.
Poorest.
So, yes, so these are two identical which we cannot run away from. So we have to know about that.
Yes.
Yes. From there, I want also to share something which we are basically I'm doing in Malawi. Since I born in typical village, whereby poverty and the gender issue. It brings complicity in the community. So I grew up with such life by knowing that it's only men who's supposed to get well-educated. In a sense that if I'm well-educated, I get good employment, yes. I'll try to look for a wife and also to take care of the children. So we grew up like that. But the story came to change when I went to secondary school. I began to realize how thick is going to promoting violence to many girls and women in the society when they are not well educated. Because economically, they become very low.
Yes.
And we slowly never regard them in a decision making level. Because they tend to be useless. I'm very ashamed to mention this, but that's how it comes. Like, yeah. So, but by then I had no any platform to say anything, but I just observing things. Worse still, the district which I born is eastern part of Malawi. We call it Mangochi. By history, I'm not sure, but by history, it shows that. By then, it's only mission schools which was constructed in those areas. And because it belongs to mission, other faiths were not happy enough to study there. So it's like huge, huge of people were not going to have good education. And that has been promoting a lot of above poverty up. Then when I reached to university, it's when I opened my eyes to see in class, we had almost equal with girls. Then I say, But where I'm coming from, girls doesn't go to school. And it's our habit. It's our culture. It come to be a normal life for us, not go to school. But wow. In the class, I can see a lot of girls around me. Then I start taking my life to study things and observing things. Now, slowly, I take into 4Ds. Like I have to discover things. From there, I dreamed what to bring to my community. Then from there, I start slowly designing my head. How can I slot in to promote a lot of girls and empower women? Then I'm a level of delivering the service to the community and district, or countrywide, I can say that. And the...
Wow. So Jeffrey, what was the conversations when men are by themselves? Are you seeing them being willing to say, wait a minute, there's a better way if we were to have both men and women in the conversation at the same time? How do we break through the patriarchy? We're working on this here in the United States, how we break through the patriarchy. How is it in Malawi? And how are you making those inroads to help break some of that through?
I can say currently, I've seen some changes, like things are better going now, comparing to how it has been before. Because the challenge was, it became like a stereotype, you know. It became like a lifestyle. If you see a girl get a school fee to go to secondary school or to go to school, everyone around you, people say, you are wasting your money. You know that person, she is going to be under the husband. Why are you putting your finance there? Better if you buy something, you know. So in such a way, the lifestyle has been just moving around, covering the atmosphere of the men. But when I start coming in with the programs, I remember my first program was to look into the education system. In a sense that in Malawi, I don't know other country, but in Malawi, it's a very, very big challenge for a girl to go to school during a menstrual period of time, mm-hmm. like a menstruation time, mm-hmm. because they don't have reusable pads or any pad. Yeah. You know?
Yes.
So that has been affecting them 7 days per month, which will already affecting the competition between them and the boys. You see?
Yes.
So that was my first step to say, okay, I think the competition is not fair. Because if we count 7 days per month, and in a semester we have 4 months, then the girls, they are missing a full month.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If we go simple calculation. You see. So I start mobilizing men to say, okay, our country, our community, our district will be well improved if we regard girls the way we regard ourselves. Because I used to give my own example to them to say, okay, I've been... Since I completed my university, I lose a job last time, but my wife has been feeding me and paying the school fee for my children and paying the house, you see. Had it been that my wife is not well-educated, that could have been a simultaneous problem.
Right.
You see? So I start slowly, slowly bringing that motive to people, and they say, I think you are talking. Then we start looking into how to build the girls' changing room in some selected schools, primary schools, where currently I can confirm two we have built with support from other friends. And from there, I introduced the reusable sanitary pads, whereby we always knock the doors to ask people to help us with a cotton and other materials like popping buttons, so that I myself, my wife, and other people, including men, I do encourage them to try, you know, sewing the reusable pads for our girls in schools.
Yeah.
And the data, when I cross-checked, the data shows that now we saved 2,716 girls who are back now in classes due to that kind of support.
Mm.
Then from there, I say, okay, this is not enough. Let's keep going. Let's keep on moving. Then what we did is, because we knew that some of the girls, they dropped the school before due to other challenges. And as I'm saying, much of them, they are traumatized, very disorganized, and you know, like, they don't know where they are going. So what I did is to reopen other schools, like negotiating with a certain primary school to give us a space. So I employed 4 teachers there, and we registered 57 girls who are now back to school from their own early marriages. And some of them, they are positive HIV. Some of them, they have 2 children. Some, you know, but they say, we have been looking for these chances. Something which I want to highlight is that I have seen now at least some men coming to understand my concept and supporting. And that's what makes every day to smile and to see the world going towards my the idea which I have in my head.
Well, so Jeffrey, gosh, that's incredible.
No kidding.
The understatement of the day. So you started this effort off all by yourself. And this has been a single person. You've gotten in other organizations involved, or how have you accomplished this?
Yeah, basically I introduced the organization called Huzibe Utali Club. Huzibe is my own village. So Utale is a certain small river which brings us water throughout the dry season. But it's a very small river. So our culture, we value that because it gives us life. Mm-hmm. So I call it Huzibe Utale Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
And men, all right, so when you're seeing these cracks, so to be able to get, when you see the women and the girls, when they begin to get in school more and you see it in their faces, do you see that there is something going on? Because I see it when you empower a woman, when you educate a woman, one of the things that I've believed all my life is that when you educate a man, you educate a human being. But when you educate a woman, she comes back and teaches the community. So you educate a community, you actually get a bigger return on your investment by educating women. It makes sense for development.
Yes, Dennis, you're on point. I can say currently we are observing a lot of a life testimony from what we are doing and far much improving. Okay, in my introduction, I didn't say that I'm also a coordinator of United Religious Initiative countrywide.
That's the URI? Yes. Okay, I read a wonderful article about some of your work.
Yes, I'm a coordinator there. So whatever I'm doing, I also sometimes ask some girls to bring their own testimony so that we can share to everyone to see. But what I'm driving to is that I've seen now women and young girls try to challenge the community norms. Mm. Which has been hindered them. So to me, that's I say, this is important now because it shows an indicator that we are going.
There
was a bit sad. Yes.
Wow. And so you're the country coordinator for URI. That's correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you're also involved with Charter for Compassion. And I believe that's where you and I meet. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Last time, yes. I become an ambassador of girls. I think also, the Charter for Compassion, they saw some news on URI, what I'm doing here. So I once connected to Sandy Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Then said, Geoffrey, I think you are doing something concerning girls. I say, yes, I'm a boy, but my priority goes to women by this, what I'm saying. So I decide to become an ambassador for them, for the girls on the Charter for Compassion. And I love them because it's like we normally meet and try to share ideas, mentor one another. And, you know, like sometimes when they're saying, Geoffrey, you're doing a good job, I always sleep peacefully because I know that what I'm doing, I'm not waiting for someone to give me something. But if it is good job, people should at least recognize that this is good job.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so where are you, where do you see the opportunity when, because we're worth looking for, how do we find compassion within ourselves? How do you bounce back when you see all the challenges? What is your way of returning back to to where you're productive rather than sitting there and saying, oh, there are so many challenges on how we face. What is
overwhelmed?
Yeah. What is your process, Geoffrey?
Okay, I can say that. I think psychologically, I wired my heart with my brain, and whenever I see how things goes, mm-hmm. I can confirm that sometimes I do cry myself. Mm-hmm. And let me be honest enough. Sometimes
please.
I do set it back when I see the challenges. I'm planning to do something and something comes to confuse and nothing goes there. You know, I feel, I think I have just to sit down. But something reminds me in my heart, especially when I remember what my mommy keep on telling me. My mommy always told me when I was young, he keep to say, when you are fighting a battle and you see the thickness of the challenges, you should definitely know that what you are doing is bringing a lot of impact.
Mm.
So I say, okay. I think this is another point. And sometimes back, he called me and said, my son, what you are doing, I love most because you are saving a lot of lives. But I want you to go there without expecting anything. If you face a challenge, you say, this is not only my challenge. If you face something good, you say, this is not only good for me. Then you do everything with positive mind. Mm-hmm. So she ignited my attitude and say, whatever I face for purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where are you? Are you seeing the opportunity to go? Do you see that education? How is the government as far as seeing women? Do women have the vote? Are they equal in voting in Malawi? Are you seeing there being more people in the city councils and in the structure? Are you seeing that there be more gender equity there yet?
No, very big no. I think we still in a life of not walking the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen government saying, well, we are going for 50-50 gender, I think now. But since then up to now, we are not even going to 40-60. Women are still not in a good position in government and in other private sectors. So, to be realistic enough, we are not there yet. But it's the battle which we are fighting now to keep on graphing going up. Yeah.
So Geoffrey, tell me what your current initiatives are, the things that are on your mind that you, how do you decide when there are so many options and so many opportunities? What are you thinking about? What's on your brain as to what the things that you want to try next?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Okay, my reflection is still existing on education angle. That's the only center which I'm going there. But I'm still looking for the other angle in education. As you might know, that education is a system. And a system has to start from zero, going where the system goes. So now, if you follow what I was saying, I started implementing what pulling down girls in the primary school, which the system begins.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
And there, better, because we have known that the competition is not fair. Girls do stay home 7 days, and there, at least we are looking for the possibility to plan there.
Right.
And I also look for those who dropped out school to take them, 57 of them. I still have a list of 213 girls, but I cannot manage because we don't have fund. I have to work, I have to beg people, then pay the teachers. Mm. Then where I'm driving to is that in many cases, girls are not given a chance to study computer in Malawi. In many institutions, even if you go to higher education, it's very rare to see girls studying computer. Yes. So what happens? If you go to have a good work, like a decent job, they say we need someone who have a knowledge of computer. You see the challenge now.
Right.
So there is another challenge there. In a sense that even if she get a good education, but because she doesn't know how to operate a computer, she's not qualified to get a good job. So my eyes looking for that to meet with policymakers. That's why I was talking to Greg last time to say I need to have a compassion a man camp. Yeah.
A man camp. So, yeah. The young men's camp. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I start bringing these issues there. And the people should understand that we are in a global village. Everyone has to maintain the opportunity. Whatever I want to do, a woman can also do that. And it's necessary. We take it as a must in our heart. You see? And I remember I shared a certain concept with friends around to say, if you have like a second-hand computer, desktop, please send us here. Because we can recruit 30 girls per year. We try to let them study computer. So to equalize the competition with men, you see? So that's where I'm going. Plus that, I'm still looking for the chance of camps, like men camp, to mentor people about this.
Mm-hmm.
And also to incorporate women in different areas. For example, when we have a very big meeting in the church in Malawi, normally we ask women to be in the kitchen to prepare food for the men who are discussing things. Mm. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the agenda.
I've seen that here.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see? So I've been talking to my different churches earlier. I say, this is not what we're supposed to do. Women should be in the gathering. They have to share their own ideas. There is nothing for them without them. So that's the ladder which I'm going. I'm happy that as a country coordinator of United Religious Initiative, I normally have a space to meet all the faith leaders around. So when they see me, they always know that I'm going to advocate about women. Something which I'm going to say.
Oh, here comes Jeffrey. He's going to...
Well, do you find that you get a lot of pushback, or you know, and say no, we're not going to do it that way, or are they open to people that you talk with? They, well, that's a good idea. Let's try it.
Yeah, I think by now I can see some of the big churches and mosques where there is an advanced people, they become to understand. Although we had some tug of wars, like Geoffrey, no, how can we go for that?
Right.
So I have to prove some facts to them. Like in the churches, how many women do we have? Always when we gather, we have 20 men, 60 women. But the men, they have to make decision for women. I say, no. We have to give them space. So slowly, we are going there.
Mm.
Wow. This is it's lovely to see. One of the things that inspires me about you, Geoffrey, is to be able to know that we may not see the end of full equality, but we have to do our part today. Find something to do. Find some conversation to have in order to be able to have this. And that's what inspires me so much about what you're doing.
Thank you, Dennis.
It is one of the things that we have in the United States, because being such a rich country and having so much, and we're going through our challenges right now, we're going through a deep systemic change, is the fear that if we were to give equal rights to women, or give equal rights to blacks, or equal rights, if we were to bring that, it would somehow take it away from us, that it is a zero-sum game. Is that, does that same idea in Malawi, does that resonate with you? Because we don't believe that. Clay and I have been talking about that the pie actually gets bigger when you bring more people in.
Yeah, I think you are not far from there, Dennis. And I was about to go to that point also. I think we are fear of something which we don't know in Malawi. Because we develop a spirit to say, if we give a space to women and they get well educated and they have all resources, they are not going to respect us. Or what they are going to do is to feel like I have everything in my heart. Why should I look for someone to be with me? There is nothing for that. But to me, that's what I say, we are afraid for nothing. Mm-hmm. We are afraid for nothing. Because we have also to know that the way I feel my heart is the same way my wife might feel. If I'm feeling pain, my wife can also feel pain. And also we have to know that it is in a must way that women should do something to respect their husbands in some way or another in a family. That's a systematic plan of the family. And I'm reflecting also on the culture of Malawi. Because in culture of Malawi, that's what we follow. We say, okay, all the women should respect and listen what the husband is saying. The same time, I myself as a man, I have to love my wife, whether she's having resources or not. But as you said, Dennis, it's true. All the African country, that's a threat. When I go to the camps with men, like if we are all men, what people are saying, you see, we give them chance, they are going to have money. And if you say, can you prepare maybe soap or a cup of tea for me? They say, no, I have everything. You see? So we are, it's like we are learning for the for shadow. We are just chasing the shadow.
Yes.
I want to ask, when you're working with, when you're working with the youth and you've done some fantastic work, what ages are you, how young do you work with Yeah, what age range?
Okay. Normally, when I call for the camp of the youth, I go for 35 below.
Age 35 and below?
Yes.
Okay. And how young?
Okay. We go for 18. Those are youngest. Mm-hmm. 35, older ones, we mix up. But if I'm going for the young youth, like there is a certain education which I do give youngest of them. So I only recruit 14, age, mm-hmm. like 14, going to 21. Those are okay. Young ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Geoffrey, let me ask a question about what do you think of the global the social network and being able to, like today, we're having a conversation with you that 20 years ago we could not have even had. You're teaching me things about Malawi, and we're going to be sending out the podcast so that people will be learning things about Malawi that they wouldn't have any indication of had they not gone into a library and pulled out a book and tried to find out. So is this having an impact on the culture in Malawi, being able to have the smartphone, being able to use GPS to find different resources and all? Do you see this as being having some positive? It has both positive and negative, but can you talk about that?
Yes, Dennis. Unfortunately, I'm coming with both ways, like negative and positive.
Everything comes with a double-edged sword, right? I mean, it's...
Yes. It's very, very wonderful to have a social network like this. And I'm telling you, some of the Malawians, we managed to have degrees using the internet courses. I'm studying with KICD. KICD is in USA. I'm here, but now I've completed my first certificate. I'm going to diploma using the network.
Yes.
It has been helping a lot because this has proving me that this is just a global village. Even if you are in America, but we manage to see one another. We are in one village now. It helps us also to learn more how things are going in other countries. How can we upgrade our understanding? Sometimes we see online some women or young guys presenting their things. So if I catch up to say, okay, someone is presenting, you know, I do take my projector and screen and presenting to a lot of people to see how things are happening in Australia, Amsterdam. So it brings a sense of connection to all of us. But on the other hand, the challenge is, I've seen that so many girls in poor countries like Malawi, we are lashing to have such things like good smartphones, good laptops in a bad way.
Tell me more. Tell us.
Yeah. More. Yes, because what I'm reflecting is this. So many rich people, they are coming now in the community to say, okay, if I have a sex with you, I'm going to buy you a smartphone. You see, so that you try to enjoy on WhatsApp, you try to enjoy on Facebook. So because at our level, we cannot manage to buy that thing, it takes us now to have maybe LMRJs or to enter into HIV/AIDS list or to have so many complications around. So this brings, although the negative is somehow slow, like it's not huge, compelling to positivity. But slowly, we have to also monitor how things are going in Africa. And in that sense, we are going far. Another negative is so many young guys, if they have that, they feel like they are doing better. They cannot go to school because they have connectivity. They have a lot of friends on Facebook. So they're feeling safe, you know. And even some of the girls, if they go to school, they have an opportunity to light on WhatsApp to some of the boys, like boyfriends, big men around, big fishes around.
Sure.
And say, hi, I'm on blank now. Can you come and pick me here? You see?
The maturity level is so much lower at those ages.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it brings that sense of lashing for something which is not your age. And instead of bringing positive to you, it slowly brings negative and sensing a danger where you are heading to. Yeah.
It seems like that this is that we are in very much of an early stages of learning how to use connectivity. This is like almost like a Pandora's box that we've opened up, the internet and all, and suddenly so many things are coming out that we're having to try to learn to connect and learn how to use wisely. to use wisely? Do you talk? Is there? I'm trying to think of me, Jeffrey, when I was 13, and when those hormones were racing through my brain, all the testosterone and brain, how stupid I was, and how completely unwise. I can't even imagine if I had a smartphone. I mean, I don't think I ever would have come out of my bedroom.
Yes. You know, the age matters. The age matters. Yeah, because if you are so young, like when I'm reflecting what I've been doing when I was young, also like what you were saying, full of childish. Whatever I'm doing is out of sense, you know. So, yeah. But now, so many young guys here, especially girls, when there is a big man and saying, "Okay, let's have sex. I'm going to buy you a BlackBerry or iPhone," they say, "Hey, I think I'm going there."
Let me ask something about the young boys as they're growing up. Is there a rites of passage that they go through at different ages?
Basically, in Malawi, it goes with culture.
Mm-hmm.
The culture is what determines. Like if a girl starts menstruating, our culture, they do take that girl into the camp and train her how she's going to manage cleaning herself and understanding that if she have a sex with a man, she can get a pregnant, having such kind of training. When she's coming from there, she tend to be a woman now.
Right.
Not a girl. Then same applies to a man. When you reach a certain level, for instance, now we are talking of 18, mm-hmm. but it is past. When you reach 16 year old, it's when the big men, like some elder men, belong to your culture. They do call you and say, "Okay, come. This is what we normally do. You have to know that you can impregnate someone. So you have to be careful enough. Plus that, you are growing with less possibility now to take care. You should not do this. You should do this. Now you have changed to become a man. You are no longer a boy."
Right.
But there is not in Malawi, there is not as much of a
ritual. A ritual. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It only goes for, like Ikacho, as I said, it's not basically like other diversity countries or other countries they normally do. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's very interesting.
So what is the division Christian to Islamic? A percentage wise in Malawi?
To my understanding, I think we can say Christians are a bit more than Muslims. But the percentage can be very slight. You know, you can't draw the line between, because we can say maybe 57%. Mm-hmm. To 43% somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see.
Interesting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what have we not talked about that would be important to talk about today, Jeffrey?
I think what I can also add up is that you have made my day, you people, especially to call me and present it to you.
You have done the same for me, I
yes.
know. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because when we find other people who value and share the common threads in a nut, it brings a sense that people, you get me this point.
Right.
It will be very, very good when we keep on going together, sharing ideas on how we can improve things. And sometimes I can be in your shoe. You can be in my shoe. I want to single out this point to say whatever we are doing in Malawi, possibly in the whole Africa, the challenge is material. I might have a good concept. I might have good ideas. But to implement, it needs someone's idea or someone's material to say, "Okay, Geoffrey, I have, like what Sunday Heart did last time, Clay knows Sunday Heart. Geoffrey, I'm giving you a cotton to donate for sanitary pads. Today I'm saying we have already saving 2,000 something.
Yeah.
Girls saved because of that.
Yes, Sandy. So, Sandy in the Sandy with the women and girls sector. She put out that word to all of her friends and so forth, and they were able to bring that together, that cotton together. And I know it was quite a problem, a difficulty. It took quite a while for it to get from the U.S. over there.
Yes. It was a slight time whereby previously she sent me almost $57, if not $60.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it brought a lot of impact on ground.
Mm.
And the first phase, we served 13 girls. And from there, because we put in phases based on how we recruited them. Like this is the first team, we call it 25 girls, and this is another team, and this is another team. So that brings a lot of impact here. Whenever we have some of the materials which can help us leading the books, like for instance, I like the what you like, Clay. You like some articles. Mm-hmm. You don't know how it improves my head. Because every time I read your story, I catch something. It's like I'm facing another lecture in my life. Say, there is another point. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So I know you might not know how much you are improving my upward mobility.
Mm.
But it brings a lot of radars for me to go high and thinking what I have to do. So that is that. And sometimes this is just like a request. I know globally everything is so complicated. When things comes normal, I think we can use maybe, for instance, I'm just giving an example. Like I can use the Dennis birthday to raise funds.
Uh-huh.
So that specifically it goes to maybe to buy soya porridge for our girls in school.
Let me ask you a question about that. So the Facebook funding campaigns are very successful. I've run them and have run it through the Charter for Compassion, and that's been a vehicle to get funds. Does that go through like URI?
Yeah, but the only challenge, Clay, I want to specify in my country is not on the list of GoFundMe program.
Okay.
Because GoFundMe in US, Amsterdam, UK, and other countries. So it's very difficult for us to go for GoFundMe on Facebook. Whenever I click, they say, no, your country is not there. And last time I posted to say, please, gentlemen who are in other countries, help me to raise funds because my plan is to have beehives. So when we harvest the hives, at least economically, we empower women and sustain their own programs. But I've seen no one reply to that email. I say, thank God, still I'm going up. Yeah.
There's some logistics in getting the funds over there, but that's doable. I've been down that path, and it is doable. So, yeah.
Okay. Jeffrey, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your open-heartedness, for your open-mindedness, for your tenacity, and for helping me to learn and grow much stronger than I'm coming out of this conversation, much more open-minded and open-hearted and fierce, determined to do what's mine to do, and to support you and the causes around the world because of who you are.
Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah, and Jeffrey, you've got my commitment. I know we were supposed to have the sessions with the young men there this year, probably about this time, actually in May, but with the pandemic that got shut down. But you've got my commitment that when travel begins again, that we'll schedule and I'll come over. I would love to be there to support you and absolutely learn more about what's going on in Malawi and so forth.
Thank you, Cray. I still keep that. And every time when I see your post, I say one day I'll shake hands with Cray. And I know Dennis, you'll come also in Malawi next time.
I love it.
Welcome to come here. And sometimes when I have a presentation, I'll keep on asking you people, lovely people, to be online like what we are doing here. And I project to my fellow friends. We have 10 minutes conversation. They can ask you something about what comes to their head. I think
sure. So
we are together. I love you, brothers. You have encouraged me. My day has just gone perfect. I know I'm going to dream about something new. Thank you.
Thank you. Clay, thank you very much, Clay Boykin, and Search, the founder of In Search of the New Compassionate Male. And Jeffrey, thank you so much for your time today. And I'm Dennis Tardon, and we shall see you next time.